NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Waylon Wong.
And I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Adrian Ma.
And it's time for Indicators of the Week.
Music.
Our theme for this week is chaos and volatility. I mean, crypto is crashing even more than the stock and bond markets, which are also crashing.
One of the stars of the stock market for many years, Apple, may be losing a little bit of its shine. This week, it lost its status as the world's most valuable company.
It's going to be a up and down and up again and down again kind of ride. Buckle in your seatbelt. We're about to get volatile after the break.
Let's start our market roller coaster ride with the downiest of down news. Adrian, you're up.
My indicator is down. It is 20% down. And as of this taping, that is how much the price of Bitcoin has dropped just in the past week.
That's a large drop.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So this is not just a thing that is happening with Bitcoin, though. This is actually something that has been spreading throughout the cryptocurrency markets this week. Other really popular cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, Solana, XRP, they have all plunged. Full disclosure, I'm not like completely removed from this ecosystem. I do hold a little bit of cryptocurrency myself.
Oh yeah? You're a crypto punk?
My entire portfolio of crypto consists of $300 worth of Ethereum.
Okay.
No, sorry, correction. It was $300 when I bought it this April.
Uh-oh.
Right now it is worth about $180.
My condolences, Adrian.
I don't think I will be, rushing to buy the dip like the president of El Salvador. But, mm-hmm. It is worth talking about what is going on here. And, well, there are basically a couple of things contributing to the crypto crash this week. And the first is sort of an underlying trend that's been playing out for the past year or so. So the early adopters in the crypto space, they have been joined increasingly by big institutional investors.
Okay, so like banks and money managers and hedge funds, those kind of folk.
Right, the companies that usually traditionally deal in stocks and bonds, they've been getting into crypto and have an increasing amount of sway in the crypto market. And so those institutional investors are feeling nervous right now because of all these macro conditions, right? Inflation, higher interest rates, supply chain turmoil, and they want to divest from risky stuff. And crypto, still considered a bit risky.
Makes sense.
So that is one kind of underlying trend underneath this whole thing. But the other thing this week that happened that has really seemed to send the crypto market into a panic is the crash of this thing called stablecoin.
Stable like a horse stable? Because surely it cannot refer to what the asset is actually supposed to do in the markets.
Yeah, as the name suggests, a stablecoin is a type of digital currency that is supposed to maintain a steady value. It is usually pegged to a currency or a commodity, like gold. And in theory, this makes it sort of a safe haven from the volatility of holding things like Bitcoin or Ethereum. And we could probably do a whole episode about how this works, but for now, the thing to know is that one of the world's most popular stablecoins is crashing. It is called Terra USD, and it is supposed to be pegged to the dollar, one for one.
I'm hearing a lot of supposed tos in this.
Yeah, that is because at one point this week, Terra USD went from a price of 100 cents on the dollar to just 23 cents. And what started this slide is a little unclear, but it is continuing to flounder, and it seems to be driven by this fear that this stable coin is not so stable after all.
Should have invested in horses.
Well, it might be easy to forget in all this drama that the crypto market itself is actually kind of small compared to the stock market, right? Like, one estimate from today pegs the total global crypto market at $1.3 trillion. That's just a little over half of what a company like Apple is worth.
Okay, so pretty big, but yeah, nowhere near as large as Apple, which used to be the benchmark as the most valuable company in the world, but Not anymore. Waylon, you have what happened?
Okay, so my indicator is 2.43 trillion, and that is the market capitalization for a company called Saudi Aramco. You may have heard of it. It is a huge oil company. And Saudi Aramco moved to the number one spot this week, pushing Apple to number two. So this is kind of a symbolic indicator. You know, tech stocks have been really dominant for the last decade or so, but they're looking pretty vulnerable right now. Apple is struggling with chip shortages and COVID lockdowns in China. And then at the same time, energy stocks were already benefiting from higher oil prices. And then the war in Ukraine is making those prices stay high.
It's almost like this rivalry between these top companies. Like you've got almost like a horse race between Saudi Aramco and Apple and Amazon and these giant companies. And they move around a bit over the years, right?
They do, because market caps fluctuate. And so you have even a time a few years ago when Saudi Aramco was number one and Apple was number two. And so they've been flip-flopping. And it's very likely they could keep swapping spots and Apple will regain the top position once more. You know what's not coming back, though?
Adrian's Ethereum earnings?
Oh, no. Too soon. Too soon.
It is officially time to say goodbye to the iPod. Apple introduced it in 2001, and this week the company said it's no longer making the iPod Touch. That was the last version that was still in production. I thought it would be fun to revisit the launch of the iPod.
The coolest gadget of the week has got to be, speaking of Apple, the iPod.
So here's a clip of David Pogue. You might remember he was a longtime tech reviewer at the New York Times. Here he is on NPR in 2001.
So in my test, I could download an entire CD worth of music onto this thing in about 6 seconds.
6 seconds.
So, you know, when Apple made its announcement, it said you can still buy a new iPod Touch while supplies last. I guess they've already run out of their existing stock, so you'll have to go on eBay.
I remember seeing those white headphones and being like a little resentful. I was like, I will never get rid of my CD player.
I mean, I remember those white earbuds were such a status symbol early on, which brings us to our next indicator, which is about the elite of the elite, the top 1%. So the wealthiest 1% of Americans own a little bit more than half the value of all corporate equities and mutual fund shares in the country. Basically, the top 1% owns about half the stock market.
So wait. You're saying like of all the trillions and trillions of dollars tied up in the stock market, half of it belongs to 1% of Americans?
No, I found that statistic pretty surprising. Look, there's a few caveats here. Like, there is always the risk that what happens in the stock market does not stay in the stock market. Companies might lay people off when they can't raise money, or there could be this crash that works in unexpected ways and it brings down everyone else with it.
Yeah, or I'm thinking about people who are on the cusp of retirement and their 401ks just went way down right as they're about to cash out.
Yeah, we could all be going down. And there is research showing that the stock market does have ripple effects on the jobs and wages of ordinary workers. Stepping back, I just think this statistic is a reminder that when we see this wall-to-wall coverage of every tremor and every hiccup in the stock market is just one indicator of how the economy is doing. Like, we don't need to refresh our screens on these market indices every hour of the day. Like, things like the job market is a more direct indicator of how everyday workers are doing.
That's why we do Jobs Friday every month, right?
It's a good plug.
This episode was produced by Nikki Ouellette with engineering from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show. And The Indicator is a production of NPR. Do you guys remember maybe like one or two of like the earliest songs you put on your first iPod?
I do. The Beach Boys' Pet Sounds.
That's a great choice. I love it.
It was great.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Adrian.
Probably something by Sublime.
Very nice, very nice. I think mine was Badly Drawn Boys, Have You Fed the Fish Today?
I can imagine that was very much of the early 2000s era.
It absolutely was, yeah. I want to go back and listen now. I'll feel transported to a simpler time.